This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Final furlong here on a busy week on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Toby's been in for Jeeps, who's had a well-earned vacation. He'll come back Monday, assuming nobody else gets sick. I mean, good heavens, the amount of illness that's going around. My six-year-old, now seven, he was six when this whole thing started. Now he's seven, to give you an idea. He had the puke flu. Then my oldest had a different kind of flu. I had a flu. Then he's got, now my seven-year-old has a new flu. There's a flu B going around, a norovirus. This thing stinks. Enough already. Jeeps got sick on his vacation, Tobes. I found that out. His mother-in-law was sick. Nothing is good, but hopefully everybody's back to normal, and we'll see you guys on Monday. So final segment here. I wanted to do this with you as we go. We got to lower our sights a little bit because the thing that made this Peters group so high level and so impressive, honestly, with their first season, wasn't just the selection of Jaden Daniels and a cohesive organization that everybody was on the same page, and you had coach, GM, assistant GM, everybody else with a synergy that you're not used to seeing around here. It's not to say there's never a disagreement. That's not what it's about. You're allowed to disagree. You're supposed to, in fact. But everybody had the same mission. There wasn't any kind of personal agenda over what was good for the team, good for the organization. But the thing to me that was such a hallmark were these, I don't want to say panned industry-wide, but unsexy kind of signings. The Zach Ertz's of the world. Anybody could have signed Zach Ertz at a time. It was before free agency because he was released before the season ended. Basically out of football coming from Arizona. Had a great season. Second leading receiver. A lot of teams could have paid up a little bit for Bobby Wagner, a guy that was one of the league leaders in tackles. People didn't do that. And I already mentioned someone, Cleveland Farrell, Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler. These are the low-risk, high-upside potential signings that make so much sense for a team trying to change a culture and establish some the personalities to who you are. And those were the things that thrived. Again, the headline is Jaden Daniels, and it should be. But 1A or maybe 2 for that is how good were these things, right? They made so much sense, and they worked out so well. And enter our conversation here and now. Let's call our shot for this year. Who among the kind of, I don't know how to say this in a nicer way, the lower level signings, not the first tier guys, not trading for Laremy Tunsil, not trading for Deebo Samuel, those are the headliners. Give me the lower tier guys that are going to have the Dante Fowler-like impact.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, the tier one guys that you acquired last year were obviously the driving force of why you did so well, but it's the guys underneath all that made it so that you could go to an NFC championship game and suddenly go from a team that had won 4 games to 12 wins. It wasn't, you know, just a 10-win team that fizzled out. So I think looking at this year, they brought back a lot of the same guys, and this guy kind of falls into that realm, but he was with the team last year, but was he really? He played 1 game for them last year, had 0 catches. He came over from New England after he was released and had 7 catches for 57 yards and a touchdown. So really didn't do a whole lot. But I thought this guy, I really liked him in his time in Minnesota, and that's KJ Osborne. You know, it's interesting that he was brought in. I thought when they signed him, Danny, I thought he was going to play a decent role. I mean, at that point, they were still a revolving door of who's the number two receiver. Is it Noah Brown? Is it Olamide Zaccheaus? De'Ami Brown kind of emerged in the playoff, but at that point, it wasn't, you know, was De'Ami Brown going to fit in there? Was Luke McCaffrey? It was kind of a revolving door, and they pick up K.J. Osborne. I thought, okay, this guy's going to step in and play a decent role because he's been pretty good at points in his career. Not, you know, star level, but kind of fit right into that same tier that they've been rolling out as that wide receiver too with the Zacchaeus and the like. And he really didn't do anything. He legit did nothing because he had no catches. He didn't touch the ball once in his time in Washington last year. But if you go back just two seasons in 2023, two seasons, 48 catches for 540 yards and three touchdowns with the Vikings. In 2022, had 90 targets, 60 catches, 650 yards and five touchdowns. Seven touchdowns the year before that and 655 yards. Danny, if someone did that for this team last year, they're like the third option.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a really, really nice piece. So I think this guy having a full season now, or at least half a season under his belt in this system, it's a guy that I guess kind of feels like a free agent acquisition because he didn't do anything here last year. But he was here, so there's already a half season's worth of familiarity. I don't know how much work in season he's getting with Jaden Daniels, but he at least understands the ins and outs and has seemingly at least had some conversations with Jaden. And they still need someone to step up. I mean, the guys that they have brought in this offseason, with the exception of Debo, who I don't even know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't really classify him as a receiver. I classify him as just a weapon used all over the place. Who's going to step up as that legit number two? There's plenty of opportunity for that, whether it's Brown or kind of that same cast of characters. And I think KJ Osborne could be that guy. And if he steps in and gives you 600-700 yards, that's not nothing. That's something be very useful for this offense.
Absolutely, because they're going to spread the wealth. And to me, he's always been – he was a little bit stouter than I remembered. I feel like I always thought he was kind of that slot receiver, water bug kind of a guy. But he looks kind of like a bigger Jamison Crowder. I mean, you think kind of earlier season – rather earlier career, Jamison Crowder, excuse me. So to me, that's a decent one. Right, where nobody's counting on that. That was as under the radar as you could possibly do for a guy there wasn't much marketplace for. And maybe it was just, as you said, opportunity, the timing he came in, offense was already humming, we didn't really need you. Well, now maybe we do and step up and step in. My guy's Dietrich Wise, and you want to chime in on this, 800-636-1067. Give me the under the radar signing that's going to have a major impact. Dietrich Wise is the example to me. And I think he's been nothing but a New England Patriot. And I think that's kind of a, hey, man, all we want you to do is get on the outside shoulder of the defense of the left tackle or the right tackle, depending on where you lined up, maintain leverage, maintain gap discipline, stay at home. And our pass rush is going to come from the Matthew Judons of the world. The pass rush is going to come from the blitzing linebacker, from the stand-up guy, from somebody else, somewhere else. We don't think of you that way. I think there's more in the tank there. He's now on the bigger side, right? 6'5", 280 is what he's listed. I mean, think of last year Fowler's playing defensive end at 240, right, on first and second down, which is not a great recipe if you want to stop the run.
No.
Ever. But I think they've got him as a run stuffer, and I think he's going to have a sneakier impact than we're counting on. Again, this isn't, some defensive lineman's going to have 75 tackles or something crazy, right? This is, I don't think he's a 12 sack. I don't think he's going to do what Dante Fowler did last year. But I do think he could be a similar player to Dorrance Armstrong. Maybe not quite as good, but I think that's exactly what they're counting on. I think that's what they want, right? If you can't go get Trey Hendrickson, which maybe you can, maybe you can't, you don't want to pay through the nose for one of those guys, let's get solid. Let's get fundamental here. Let's get kind of the boring, unsexy, Patriot way, bring a little of that down to Washington for a stay-at-home, accountable defensive end. Again, those aren't the guys that make $25-30 million a year. That's not Myles Garrett. If you've got get-up-the-field pass rusher, I almost don't care what else you do. You know, like, you want to run to that side, that's fine. You're only hurting yourself. I'm going to tell that guy, for the most part, get up the field, man. Get up the field and put the fear of God on them. Force them to adjust to you. They don't have that. And there aren't that many of those guys. There's not that many of those TJ Watts out there. There aren't that many superstar pass rushers that came available. So this, to me, is kind of, I don't want to say the next best thing, but close to it, right, where you've got an upgrade on first down, on running downs, typically, again, especially against Philadelphia, kind of dealing with some of their size with some of your own. And then I think there's more there in the pass rush tank. He's had a 7.5 sack season before. Again, I don't know that that's the norm. I would hope for, kind of upside-wise, he's in that 7 sack range. Last year had 5 for New England, playing pretty regularly as part of rotation, pretty stout there on the defensive line. So I think Dietrich Wise is the unsung hero. Nobody's talking about that. It's obviously for obvious reasons. As you said, it's Laremy Tunsil, it's Deebo Samuel. And Kinlaw's gotten headlines because the amount of money he got. But I think Wise is kind of the unsexy dude that might be better than we think.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. We talked about this the other day. Sam Fortier had written an article about this saying that they're getting guys with some traits. Dietrich Wise kind of fits into that 96th percentile arms, having long arms and being able to kind of stonewall that run game, and I think that's huge. I mean, especially like we talked about before, you add people with size and various things, but having a guy that can help in an outside zone or guys trying to stretch things to the outside, I mean, you're going to play Saquon twice a year for the next couple of years. Like, it's just the reality of things, and having a guy out there that you can depend on at least being able to hold his ground, someone that's going to be solid against the run, I think is really, really big. And if you look at what he did this past season, Danny, 29 combined tackles, 5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss. He's almost the exact same as what Dorrance Armstrong gave you. 5 sacks, exact same amount of sacks. Dietrich Wise gave you 29 combined tackles. Dorrance Armstrong had 10 more at 39. 7 tackles for loss, 14 quarterback hits for Armstrong. 5 tackles for loss, 8 quarterback hits for Dietrich Wise. Very similar. Very similar type players. And I think Dorrance Armstrong wasn't a sexy pickup by any means last year. Like, he didn't do anything too crazy. But I think you can build a foundation on those sorts of guys where you can at least feel good about what you're going to get, where they can do a little bit of everything. They're not spectacular. I think they still need a difference-making edge rusher that can get after the passer. But a guy that can play the run, play all 3 downs, give you a little bit in the pass rushing game, give you some solid play in the run game, he fits perfectly now that, you know, if it's something where Johnny Newton comes on a little bit this year, Danny, and he's going to get up the field, maybe Daron Payne plays a little bit better than he did this past season, suddenly you've got 2 ends that play the run well, and you let your guys in the middle hunt a little bit. So I think that it's a really wise, well, no pun intended.
Oh, come on. You did that on purpose.
A really wise pickup for the team.
It was a Dimitric pickup for the team. A Dietrich, rather, not Dimitric. There was a Dimitric Evans, and this is, yes, Dietrich Wise. I'm gonna screw that up a trillion times. So are there any other guys that jump out to you just kind of in this sort of short list there? So I want to tag you on it here in a second. And Corporate Claire, you can chime in as well. This kind of under-the-radar idea, because, again, that's, I think we're – because it's not the sexiest thing with this org, with a given player, right, we sort of overlook it. And I think somebody made the point to me on Twitter yesterday at Funny Danny where you go, hey, man, like, these guys just did this last year. They just did this with Wagner and Eckler and a bunch of players that in Ertz that weren't really – people weren't really that excited about those signings. They were getting C-pluses in free agency grades, getting B-minuses, where it's like, yeah, I guess they'll be better than they were, but what's the real point of all this? How about 12 regular season wins and a trip to the conference championship game? That's the point, right? It filled in perfectly. It was great chemistry. They found guys that fit what they wanted to do, fit to instill the culture, et cetera. They've earned the benefit of the doubt here to say, I bet you they're doing it again. I bet you these bargain signings are probably pretty shrewd.
Yeah, the other one that I was intrigued by, we were on air when they signed this guy, and I'm intrigued by what he's going to do, what kind of role he's going to play. It's Eddie Goldman.
Yep, that's another
one. Just a big body. I don't know that he's a huge difference maker, but the only other guy on the team that gives you that sort of body where he's listed at 6'3", 325 is Daron Payne, 6'3", 320. We were just talking about how Dorrance Armstrong and Dietrich Wise can play decently against the run. Imagine you throw 2 320-pounders in the middle, and you know you rotate through, and Johnny Newton's on the bench. He's a little undersized of a defensive tackle. You want to stop the run. There you go. There's a real shot at it. So they can run some different styles where he was truly lining up over the center as a nose guard. Do they want to try some 3-down looks where instead of, you know, their usual 4-down linemen, they've only got 3, and you can have Payne and maybe Newton, and you want to have Goldman in the middle head up over the center. They can try some different stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they try some different alignments with him. So he's the other one that's intriguing because I don't know that they have a guy like that, maybe outside of Payne, but I think he's even different than Payne in that he's kind of truly just a run stuffer that at times just stands there, but it's kind of worth having a guy that can't be moved.
Yeah, that's part of the package. That was probably my 1A or my second guy that would sort of step in as part of that run stuffing rotation with the idea that Johnny Newton eventually is your disruptor. Right? I think Daron Payne at one point showed it. I mean, the year he broke out, his contract season, that's what he did. He was he would line up on that one side of the center and do that swim move up and under, go to the opposite shoulder, ripping past people. And I thought, okay, this is something he developed. He's a star now, and he kind of reverted back to form, or who knows what happened exactly with him, but didn't do it anymore. Darius, I'll tag you in, my friend. Is there somebody they've signed where you go, this is going to be better than they think?
Whew, it's tough. You guys got the good ones pretty much. I guess for me, I'm going to go
and
with...
And it could be a returning player, too, by the way.
Well, returning players and just sign this...
Yes, sign back, you know,
right,
like
yeah.
They had.
So the one
we chose KJ Osborne, yeah.
The one I was going to go with is actually going to be Noah Brown coming back. Now, obviously, Noah Brown contributed pretty well last season, considering that the team didn't have a true number two going into the start of week one, and he basically kind of became that. I think with him returning, coming off of the injury... It clearly Jaden Daniels had a connection with him and had some trust in him because he gave him a lot of opportunities. There were weeks where he had more opportunities than Terry McLaurin, it seemed like, early in the year. Him coming back and now taking that potentially taking the role, a second fiddle role to Deebo Samuel, I think might actually benefit him and get him even more opportunities to at least be the red zone threat, the touchdown maker that this offense is going to need.
I like that one. Corporate Clary, do you have somebody in mind, my friend?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to go with cornerback Jonathan Jones. I'm not entirely sure if you guys touched on him just yet, but I am a sucker for former Patriot cornerbacks. Like, whatever it is, it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, this guy played, he started, what, like 14 games this past season. He's had some good seasons with them. And also, only 31 years old. He's been in the league for nearly, I mean, what, 6-7 years at this point. He knows how to play ball, and he has been a starter. He has been on the inside. He's been on the outside, and he's also been a safety these past few seasons also. So I look at Jonathan Jones, and I think he's going to be one of those gadget guys where Ron Rivera would love him because he's got that position flex there.
Yeah, that position flex, he really does.
I think Dan Quinn is also going to be in that picture, except doing a better job with it. So I love the Jonathan Jones addition. I think he could play some meaningful snaps for this team, and I'm all in on him. I really do like that signing.
So I do too, and I kind of had him too high profile to fit this bill, but I think you're probably right. It was important that we brought him up. I think he's your day one starter opposite Marshawn Lattimore. So I think that's as good a one as any. The last person I would mention, and this is me shoehorning this, what about John Bates?
Yeah.
So here's why I bring that up. They signed him to a 3-year deal, which right away tells you, like Tim Allen sounded like, wait a minute, there's something else going on here, right? A blocking tight end isn't just somebody that you go, we can't live without him. Apparently there was some demand. They had to up their offers a little bit. They signed him for 3 years. Here's why I bring him up. Not as necessarily a prodigious pass catcher, but the main reason I said last year that I didn't – let me rephrase. I liked the Zach Ertz signing a lot because my point was there's no downside to this. Who cares? Great in the room. Good security blanket for Jaden Daniels. He'll be good for their rookie tight end, Ben Sennett, who we didn't know they were going to draft, but then they did. I got to win that. There's no downside to that signing. The reason I said, hey, let's be careful, is when's the last time that guy was healthy for an extended period of time? Well, he was healthy all season long, or as healthy as you're going to be in your 30s with that kind of wear and tear. And he was better in the second half than he was in the first. I'm not counting on that again. I don't think that's going to happen again. And it's not a knock on Zach Ertz. He's done everything correct. He's really good. So, to me, that second tight end role, we're going to see him a lot, I think.
Well, and what if part of the reason that he was able to stay healthy, Danny, is the fact that he's not asked to dig out blocks and do all these different things because that's John Bates' job.
Yep.
So, I think having a guy like that, that first of all, you have to have the right mentality. He's not complaining he's not getting the football. He's not. He just goes out there and does his job, does the gritty work. So I think that's a good one because they really like him. You know, the words that Zach Ertz had to say about him, saying he's one of the most dominant blocking tight ends you've ever seen in his career. Like, he clearly thinks high of him, and I think the team really respects him for that. Having a guy that can do all those things is huge. So, yeah, I think that's a sneaky one that maybe you won't see in the box score a whole lot, but he will actually have a pretty big impact.
Yeah, he had that huge catch against Detroit, too. Was that a fourth down play? Kind of the action was going the other direction. It was maybe a deep third down.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
They love that bit where they don't throw him the ball for the first four or three and a half quarters.
And then deep in the fourth quarter.
Here he comes on a little sneak across the formation. Here he comes.
Now's the time to go to John Bates. This was a blast, my friend. Tope, great to hang out with you. Appreciate Money Metal Chris here on site. Appreciate Jeff Walker on site. Appreciate especially a huge special thank you for allowing us to have a field trip like this, Corporate Ryan Clary. Corporate Clear, everybody.
Yes.
It was big. It was really, really nice of him to let us do this. Appreciate everybody that made this happen. Folks that came out here and checked us out. This is an awesome couple of my favorite days of the year. Super, super cool. Thanks to Darius, Anthony, everybody else that made the show go today. We'll be back at it on Monday after a busy weekend of tournament action. Until then, enjoy yourself. See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.